Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation about the book of James. We have been in chapter one for a few episodes, talking about trials, talking about temptation, talking about the life of victory. And I'm here with my good friend, Carrie Schmidt, again. And Carrie, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's been great. We've learned so much from James chapter one, and we're going to have a great conversation today.
So let me read the verses that we're going to cover today. We stopped, in retrospect, Carrie, we stopped at an awkward place yesterday, or last episode, I should say. Verse 16 says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Mm-hmm. So, and you point, don't go astray.
Right.
Don't allow the enticement to couple with your lust to produce sin and ultimately destroy your life.
Right.
So do not err, my beloved brethren. And I love the heart there.
Right.
Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Yes.
A heart of a pastor.
He's not hard. These are not hard edges.
Yeah, he's not pounding and pointing. He knows
what's best for them. He knows what's good for them, and he wants them to get it, that God is good. He's not withholding good things from them. Isn't that what we think, Kurt?
Right.
When we're tempted, and the whole idea, some people have this whole idea of Christianity, that it's all about what we can and can't do, do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Christians don't really have any fun.
Somehow we're missing out.
Yeah, we're missing out. God's withholding good things. So James is about to give us the answer to that error, that tendency to stray. And he's going to give us a landing place for everything he's taught about trials and hardship and the trying of our faith. He's going to give us a rock right now to hold on to that stabilizes us, that God is always good and always the giver of good things.
He's always good, and he'll never change from always being good.
Right.
So here's the rock to which Carrie's referring. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And lest that be nebulous, it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, he's not going to change, and he's not even going to appear like he's going to change.
Right.
And then verse 18, of his own will, because God wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
He wants you, yes.
Of his own will begat he us. So just as lust and enticement birth sin, God, through his word, birthed us.
Yeah.
We're born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Right.
Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of. In other words, he birthed us to be something.
Mm-hmm.
Not to leave us on the hospital doorstep,
mm-hmm.
but to raise us,
mm-hmm.
to help us to become like his own beloved son, the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So there's there's the rock that you referred to.
Yeah, yeah. He's giving us a context. In other words, in my trial, we tend to contextualize everything into our perspective, into our limited, finite understanding. Why is this happening to me? Why am I suffering? Why is life hard? And then we rationalize our sin, rationalize our painkillers, rationalize bad decisions, even blaming them on God. It's God's fault. And what James is saying, he's giving us a new context. He's saying, don't frame everything through your wisdom. Frame everything through a higher wisdom. And that wisdom is that God is always good. He is always doing good things. He's always giving good things. He is never changing. He is always the Father of lights. He is always illuminating. He's always shining light into a situation. He's always making things better and doing better things. He never changes. And he chose you. He begat you. And you are treasured amongst all of his creatures. So that's why I say it's this giant rock to hold on to that stabilizes everything else in my life.
Absolutely. And it speaks to God's character, but it also speaks to God's desire to to be just that. And even the language of relationship, he's the father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the language of the pastor, you're my beloved brethren.
Right.
It's such the opposite of what sin does. Mm-hmm. Sin flatters you.
Right.
Sin tells you, you look good, or I want you, only to throw you on the trash heap when mm-hmm. you're not usable.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, no, I love you where you are before you've been developed. I love you before you're born.
Mm-hmm.
I love you as a baby when you can offer nothing. Mm-hmm. It's a contrast in every way.
And think of the opposite. In my trial, Satan says, God's working against you. God's punishing you. God's doing this to you. And in my temptation to sin, the lie is always, God's withholding this from you. God's keeping from you what's pleasurable, what's fun. There's pleasure in sin. And what James is saying is, no, God is not punishing you. You're his chosen creature, his rebirthed new creation, and he has elevated you and valued you. He's perfecting you, he's shaping you, and he is pouring out his good gifts upon you. And it changes the whole narrative when you anchor yourself to this. And to me, he's saying, tie yourself down to this, you know, and let this anchor you in all, let this wisdom of who God is and what God does, how he functions, how he thinks.
And it's also an introduction, Carrie, to the section that deals with the Word of God, which is the rest of chapter one. So if it was the Word of God by which God saved us, you know, how shall they hear without a preacher? We are exposed to the gospel message, exposed to the revelation of God through his word. If that's the way by which the whole thing got started, then how much fidelity should we have to the word of God for the rest of our life?
Right.
You know, so wherefore, man, be swift to hear that word.
Right.
It's the word of God that transformed you and afforded you justification, but it's the word of God by which he wants to sanctify you and make mm-hmm. you more and more like his son, the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love what he promised, specifically what he's promised these early Jewish believers, that ye should be a kind of first fruits. So the first fruits of a crop would be the crop that would come to maturity before the main harvest.
Right.
So, boy, those strawberries, they ripened early. So mm-hmm. you pick them. You don't let them die. You pick them and eat them early.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you're like the first fruits of all of his creatures. In other words, well, how much has God set his love upon you early, you that are the first Christians? Now think yeah. about to whom James is writing.
Right.
He's writing people that in their town, they're being viewed as cultists.
Mm-hmm.
Not just by townspeople, but by fellow Jews.
Yeah.
Like, you have left the faith. You're crazy.
Yeah.
And no doubt that was the reason for some of the trials.
Right.
That was the reason for some of the, well, you know, I might as well just succumb to my temptations. But here is James lovingly showing them, no. You know, God has called you to be a template.
Mm-hmm.
He's called you to be, man, you're like pioneers. You're like the Daniel Boones of this thing.
And there's some sense in which he's saying there are many more to come after you.
Right.
And what's happening in your faith is what you said, the template for what will happen for generations, you know, and think of the motivation of that. If in my trial, okay, this is how I personalize this. This verse tells me whatever my trial might mean, okay, whatever purpose is unfolding in my trial, I know that it does not mean that God is not good. It does not mean that God's forgotten me. It does not mean that God is punishing me. Whatever's unfolding in sinful temptations, my lusts and the conception of all that, whatever's unfolding, it cannot be that God has withheld something good from me. It can't. So this is a categorical verse that is deeply motivating in this sense. As you are enduring, you are remembering that God is good. And that what he's doing in your life, it's just the first fruits of the ripple effect, the much harvest to come out of your suffering. And again, I personalize this to my own trial of cancer, that I'm only 8 years out, And Kurt, you know a little bit about my story of God revitalizing our church in New England. I wouldn't be in New England if it weren't for cancer. And there's a generation of new Christians at our church that I wouldn't even know if I hadn't gone through cancer. And so a verse like this shows me that I'm experiencing the first fruits in my own generation of what God will continue to do through the work of the gospel. And I can see that just in the little seeds of my own small suffering. It's a beautiful thing.
Even the wording, and to me, that those personal stories really help, I think, all of us to understand better. So thanks for sharing it. But even the word itself seems a little bit awkward until you just stop and realize, wow, first fruits of his creatures. Mm-hmm. So he's speaking about the new birth. Mm-hmm. He's speaking about our salvation. So we typically think of creation in the natural world, that we have our physical body, we've been created, God mm-hmm. created all things. But there's a real sense in which when you received Christ as your Savior, you became a new creature, a mm-hmm. new creation. Mm-hmm. That's the language of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So, you know, God has retooled you. He's created you for his purpose, created in Christ Jesus. That's Paul's language in Ephesians 2, unto good works. Mm-hmm. So God has uniquely outfitted you to be, he's outfitted the person for the purpose.
Yes.
Just what we talked about last time.
Yeah.
He has uniquely gifted you for, shaped you, I think is the way you said it, shaped you for your gospel purpose. So yes. My friends, I don't know what that is. Okay. For me, I know part of it. I know part of it is being the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. Part of it is, you know, some of the other, being the husband to Wanda and be the father to my children. But I don't even know all of the things that God wants me to do yet. He unfolds that in process, but I do know this. He's created me to do it.
And he is cultivating a harvest that you have yet to even imagine. You know, you're the first fruits of much more to come. You know, it reminds me of Hebrews where talking about chastening. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Nevertheless, afterward, mm-hmm. it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
And that's the rub, afterward.
Yeah.
And that's what brings us full circle. That's, God, I need wisdom because I see it now, but I don't see afterward. I see pain today. I see frustration today. I see brokenness today. But the Father of lights, he can illuminate you.
Yeah.
The Father that's good, he's not doing something to you. He's doing something for you. The God that saved you, man, he has so much more for you. It's not just a ticket out of some eternal dark spot. You know, he's got an entire future plan for you, and he's shaping you for his purposes. Be encouraged, my friend, today. Be encouraged. Carrie, I think that's going to be it for us for a few days at least. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you for
I've enjoyed it. Thank you for
speaking into the conversation.
Thanks for letting me be a part.
We'll do it again soon. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.